Yesterday I said we wouldn't get this passage from Hebrews because I thought today was the feast day. So we do get it. So you'll hear it twice. This is a contrast between Sinai and Sion. We just sang, you have come to Mount Sion, the city of the living God. That's inspired by this passage. Sinai, the law was given. A great gift. It's called the gift of the law, and, because it's such a gift. And yet, you see, it was surrounded by all this awesomeness. Huh? You have not approached that which could be touched. A blazing fire and gloomy darkness, storm and a trumpet blast, and a voice speaking words such that those who heard begged that no message be further addressed to them. If you look back, you see, in the book of Exodus, you'll read all this. Finally, they said to Moses, you go talk to God. Then you tell us what he said. We can't take it straight from God. It's too much. And so Moses went. That's how he became the mediator. One of his functions as mediator. It's just too much to hear God talk. We don't want that. Because it's thunder and lightning. And Moses himself said, I am terrified and trembling. No, you have approached Mount Zion and the city of the living God. Now, that's not the earthly Zion. That Zion was a chosen place, still is in some ways, where the temple was, where people could go and enter into the presence of God and praise Him with all their brethren, a precious place, but only a symbol. You can enter the reality in icon, but in reality, you can come into the very presence of God yourself. All of you together. All of us. You can enter. Jesus has penetrated the veil. You can enter into the very Holy of Holies and touch God. And be touched by God. That's what's happened to you. And countless angels in festal gathering. Angels. It's your world, folks. Our citizenship is not here. My passport says heaven. And that's where we're going. And in a way, that's where we already are. Now, is it important to grasp this? The countless angels in festal gathering, the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven. Who are these firstborn? Those are those joined to the firstborn, Jesus, firstborn of the dead. The assembly of the firstborn. That means Abraham, Jeremiah, Moses, Samuel, Anna, all these people who are now perfect. They've been made perfect. They couldn't be made perfect without us. But now they're perfect. Now they see God. Now they see God. And that's our world. You see, as I say, there are the overtone or the allusions to this text are the Eucharist. See, that's Mount Sion. Right here. You've approached Mount Sion, the dwelling place, the city of the living God. Countless angels in festal gathering. The assembly of the firstborn and God, the judge of all. And the spirits of the just, made perfect. All the just, all the righteous, from Abel to the very last one. And they all belong to the one church of God. There's only one ecclesia, one gathering, one church. They all belong to it. That's why the Father of the Church said the church has existed since Abel. And it will exist until the last person dies. And then it will be forever. The heavenly Jerusalem. The heavenly Jerusalem. You have approached it. You see the challenge. You've also then the spirits of the just made perfect. And Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, still mediating that covenant, still the source of it. Days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the other one. This one, I will write my law in their heart. And they will have the principle within them, the power from me within them, to respond to me with the same kind of reckless love with which I love them. And the perfection of that, that's heaven. Forever. Forever. And the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. This is such a mystery, isn't it? Blood of Jesus. Sprinkled. Poured out to purify. Why? Because it was poured out with such love. And it is the blood of the eternal divine Son of God. Purifies us. So we have no fear. We have no fear. Well, how do we get from this experience of Mount Zion, which is an icon, to the real one? Well, the one that's unveiled. We obey. We obey. And the Lord will take us, because we're already there. And now, to live that and to bring people into it. You know, my friends, I suppose you're following the news. Most of it centers around abortion. Why? Because you see, the only way to respond to abortion is to say that, to appeal to a higher principle than the convenience of the mother or whatever, you know. A higher principle. But what if systematically, for 8 centuries now, the world has eliminated any higher principle? Then the only principle is law. And who makes the law? Those who have the power. And that's the only principle. Now as that reality is settling upon the world, right now there's this, the United Nations has this treatise, whatever it is, and many nations have signed on to it. In the document, it says nothing about abortion. Nothing. And yet on the basis of that document, the United Nations is scolding Poland for its reluctance to fully embrace abortion, scolding Ireland for listening to the church. And once this thing is voted in by a nation, it becomes binding. And right now, in Congress, there is a strong movement to vote in this bill and make it part of U.S. law. Right now. That gets it. So all these folks who want to eliminate Roe v. Wade, now it's international law, they can't touch it. Today that's going. And we should make our voice heard. We're proud of this country. We're proud of our freedom. We should exercise it. This is not the heavenly Jerusalem. But you see, as we do that, we keep our eyes and our heart fixed in the heavenly Jerusalem. It's from there that we get the compassion, the insight, the understanding. It's that clear. Once you take God out of it, legally, you know, this famous separation of church and state, which is not in the Constitution. It's in a letter of Jefferson. And he never, never meant. It's a country, no, they didn't worship the God of the Christians, our founding fathers. They were deists. But there's a higher principle. All men are endowed by their creator. That's poetry if there's no creator. They're not endowed by their creator. They're endowed by the law of the land. See how frightening that is. The law of the land has already declared that children in the womb have no rights. The mother can declare whether the child lives or dies. And nobody can appeal to a higher law. Because some of you people still believe in God, but you cannot bring that in to the civil forum. So what do you bring in? Do you see where we are? And we can't allow this to go on. At least we have to speak up and save as many souls as possible, so that if it becomes law, and this country openly embraces the secular view of reality which characterizes Europe, and why there's not one country in Europe that's even replacing itself. Not one. This is the other side, you see. Now, if we enter that world without knowing where we live, there'll be nothing but fear, anger, darkness, despair. We have to know that we come to this living in the bulwark of truth, as the letter to Timothy says, the church. That's why I'm praying for the Pope this morning. It's that real. That doesn't take away our joy. That doesn't take away our grasp. In fact, it's because of this that we are obliged to have mercy, to help people, to preach nonviolently the reality of God's love, His care, His power, that we are called, and some of us already live, in a heavenly Jerusalem, in Mount Zion, and that will become completed when we die. And the Lord is saying, as you know, this darkness which could envelop the world will not. Because I am coming back. And I am coming back in the hearts and minds and souls and spirits of everybody who will receive me and will obey me and will go to some trouble for me. And together, we will change this world and make it safe again for God's children. This is the message. He who is the mediator of a new covenant, Jesus. We have come to Him in this heavenly Jerusalem. He's coming to us. So there's no room for fear or anger, but prayer and mercy and forthright speech and action and confidence. How bad will it get before it gets better? Only Jesus knows, and He's the Lord of the world. It's going to get just as bad as He wants it to be for the sake of mercy. To turn people from this blind gathering of commodities. So pretty soon we treat each other like commodities. We shop for babies. I want a blonde, blue-eyed, and I'll go down to the bank and get a sperm bank and have, you know, so that my baby is a commodity. My life is a commodity. No. You have approached Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, countless angels in festal gathering. That's who you are. And that's who the whole world is called to be. So the Lord is saying, come, go to a little trouble for me. Pray. If I send you suffering, embrace it. Go to a little trouble for me. So that together, we can make this world safe again.